You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
You know, God just dropped a message in my heart for this week. Be one with a difference. You know, there are many presidents, there are many teachers, there are many parents, but how many are there with a difference? How many are there with a difference? God has called us to be one with a difference, to be different, not weird. Different. Amen. There's a big difference. Some people are just trying to be weird today. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about being different. Can your yes be your yes? Different. When everybody is frowning, can you be the one smiling? When everybody says it's impossible, can you be the one where God stirs up your spirit and you say, it's possible. We can do it. You know, the Bible records in the book of Numbers, Caleb. It says, my servant Caleb, he had a different spirit, a different attitude. Number one, because he followed God with all his heart. He followed God fully. But because he had a different spirit and spoke up and people could see it, a whole generation could enter into the promise. Your attitude is very important. Because it's not just affecting your own life and your family, but those around you. Because we have the Spirit of God on the inside, we can be different. Spirit of light, Spirit of life, Spirit of hope. On the inside, we can go out and be different. Can I tell you something? Where God has placed you right now, start by being different there. A matter of fact, God gives us instruction. He says, be fruitful and multiply. Many people think, one day when I'm a manager, one day when I have the big position, then I'll start to be fruitful and multiply. But God says, right there where you are, be fruitful and multiply. Young people, in your home, as a youngster, be fruitful. Let your kindness multiply. Let your obedience towards your parents multiply. Just say amen. God blessed us, Genesis 1 verse 22, and God blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply. Our first calling, our first responsibility is to be fruitful, is to multiply. What God has given you, where God has placed you, can you be fruitful? Can you multiply? That's the challenge. The spirit on the inside of you is a spirit that is victorious, is a spirit that allows us to increase, to multiply wherever we are. Genesis 9 verse 1, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So not just to Adam, after the flood, he said, listen, you guys, now be fruitful and multiply. Verse 7, he says, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. So God is saying, listen, whatever I've placed on the inside of you, be fruitful, multiply, and multiply in it. When you look at the parable of the servants that received their talents, their gifts, what was the requirement? Double. Double. What are you doing with what God has given you? Are you multiplying it? Are you increasing? If you're faithful with the small multiplications, God will entrust you with the big multiplications. Wherever you find yourself right now, be fruitful. Multiply. Doesn't matter what you are doing. If you're a student, be faithful. Multiply. If you're working for somebody, be faithful. Be fruitful. Can I have one amen, please? You know, God has given us the ability to change our situation and our circumstances. No situation, no circumstances has to remain the same. In Genesis 8, verse 22, just before Genesis 9 that I said where God says, be fruitful and multiply. In verse 22, it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. He says, seed time and harvest is never going to cease. So can I tell you something? If you're at a place and you may be working somewhere where everybody is grumpy, you be the person to activate seed time and harvest. You be the one to walk in there and to smile. Give it your best smile. And start to plant smiles, and you will have smiles. Many times somebody is just waiting for you to give a smile so that they can smile. Do you want our roads to change, to be better, the driving to be better? Then stop being the aggressive driver. You get off the tut, 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 and you be the patient driver. Now you're frowning at me, and some of you are smiling at me, but I'm not interpreting the smile correctly, I think. It's like a smile that's like never going to happen, buddy. Everybody wants to change, but sometimes people don't know how to change. People want to move from darkness to light, from failure to success, from sickness to good health. But oftentimes they don't know how to do it. But they're looking for somebody that can help them, that can show them a more excellent way. Somebody that will be different. When you understand this principle, that what you are planting, seed time produces a harvest, everything in your life will start to change. In Genesis 26:12, I love this scripture where it says, "Then Isaac sowed in that year and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." When you go on, it says the Lord started to bless him and he started to prosper and became very prosperous. And we think, okay, that's good. He planted and had 100-fold return. But when you go to verse 1, it says there was a famine, and then there was a second famine. So this man had a different attitude, a different spirit. He didn't look at the situation and the circumstances, whether there was a drought, but he looked at God, who implemented this principle of seed time and harvest. And he said, even if there's a drought, the other people are not sowing, I'm going to plant. Because I want my situation and my circumstances to change. And the Bible said he had 100-fold return. Turn to the person next to you and say, seed time and harvest. So let me just tell you, that principle works at all times. When people are grumpy and nobody is greeting you and nobody is smiling, you start to plant smiles. If you need more friends, then you start to be the friend and start to plant seeds of friendship. Can I have one loud amen? Amen. You be the one with the difference. To be the one to step up and to say, I'm going to be the one that's going to bring the change. I'm not waiting for change and then I'll follow. I'm taking the first step to bring the change. Amen. When we start to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, what will start to happen? If this whole church went out and say, we're just going to smile 10% more than what we've been smiling the past week, imagine what would happen out there. People want to change from darkness to light. They want to change from sickness to good health, from failure to success. But oftentimes they don't know how to change. And you, with a different spirit on the inside, when everybody says it's impossible, it cannot happen, and there's no change, nothing will change, to be the Caleb with a different spirit and to say, we be well able. If the Lord is with us, who can be against us? I said in the pre-service prayer meeting, that was the scripture. If God is for us, who can be against us? And I said, everybody wants God to be for them. But how many people are for God? How many people are for God? How many people will say, God, I will stand for you. I'll be the Joshua. I'll be the Caleb. I'll be the one with the difference. When we want with the difference, the light that God has placed on the inside of us, let that light start to multiply. Then I'm saved to save others. When God has blessed me with every blessing in Christ Jesus, let those blessings start to multiply. Then you are blessed to be a blessing. Can I say something? People are waiting on the other side of your obedience. But many times we just wait. Let me see what's going to happen. Let me see if there's change. Be the one with the difference. to lift up your voice and say, we be well able. Let's go in and go possess this land. This South Africa belongs to God. South Africa belongs to God. If we want South Africa to be different, then let's be different. We have 27 cultures in this church, in harmony by the grace of God. But can I tell you something? There's only one way, and that's the Jesus way. Anything else that we want to bring to combine with Jesus, our strength with God's strength, is not acceptable. How many will there be with a difference that say, God and God alone? You know, we love to quote Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve God. He said, I'm going to be different. Me and my family, we're going to serve God. Can I tell you, when every family starts to serve God, then that's not different anymore. Then that becomes the norm. He said to them, I know you've got idols in your homes. He says, get those things out of your house. I spoke about it last week. What is in your house that's not pleasing to God? Get it out. Get it out. Jesus wants us to be one with the difference. In Acts 20 verse 35, he says, I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of Jesus that he said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You don't see that anywhere recorded in the Gospels. But somewhere they had to say that. It's more blessed. Jesus had to say, it's more blessed to give than to receive. When you come to church, are you coming to church to be a blessing or just to receive blessings? Because South Africans, we have a mindset, bless me, give me. And that's why many things in our lives don't change. Because we should have an attitude, the attitude of Christ, to be a blessing. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. When people are weak, you become their strength. Turn to the person next to you, say, that's different. I want people to help me to be stronger. Can I say, those that want to receive must prioritize others and help them. Because what you make happen for others, God will make those things happen for you. When Jesus came and he taught, his teachings were different. He says, you've heard an eye for an eye. I'm telling you, it's not an eye for an eye. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Be different. When you come to church, when you go into meetings, when you meet people, don't approach them for what you can get from them. Why don't we have an attitude that I'm going to go to you to be a blessing to you? Can I have one amen? Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. What if a whole church went out this week and said, you know what, we're not going out to get blessings. We're going out to be a blessing. What God has given me, God help me to multiply it so that I can be a blessing to somebody. You're trusting for big things. You're trusting God to do unusual things. You want God to do far more abundantly, whatever you could think or imagine or dream. But what have you done with the small things that He's placed in your hands? Because if you're faithful with the small things, God will entrust you with the big things. Don't say one day when I'm a manager or when I'm a director, I will start to give, I will start to help, I will start to change people's lives. You won't. You'll be more busy and you'll find that money will go to other things that will be a priority for you. But if you make it a priority when it's small, it will be a priority for when it's big. Teach your children when they are small to come to church, and when they're big, they'll still come to church. Luke 16 verse 12 says, and if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Can I tell you something? You that want your own business, and you have prophecies of owning businesses. Have you been faithful with another man's business? Or are you sitting there just looking for the opportunity to take his clients and go do your own thing? That's not faithfulness. That's conniving, that's wicked, that's killing, stealing, and destroying. Can I have one amen? But if you work hard and you are faithful, a man's gift will make room for him, bringing before kings. Trust the Jesus way. But we want to combine our own strengths, the world's ways, with God's ways. Should have the mindset of a life-giving spirit. You're a life-giving spirit. Wherever you go, you can bring life. In a situation that seems hopeless, you can declare light and life into that situation. A matter of fact, you have a mandate from God to be fruitful and to multiply. The gifts that God has given you, placed on the inside of you, have you been multiplying them? Increasing? Multiplying in it? The talents that God has given you, the strengths that God has given you, use it to strengthen others. Amen, 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 amen. You mean my blessings, Lord? I must use that to be a blessing to others? Yes. You know what the Bible says? When you can do good, don't withhold it from people. Proverbs 3 verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. When it's in your power of your own hands to do so. It says when you can bless and help somebody, be a blessing. Mine, I'm just going to hold on to it. If you can help, help. If you can be a blessing, be a blessing. Imagine all of us can go out and say, this week I'm just going to be a blessing. I'm just going to help. Where somebody is frowning, I'm just going to smile. We need more smiles in this world. Give me your best smile. Let's just practice here in church. If you can get it right in church, I know you'll get it right in the world. Amen. Give me your best smile. Yes, faith acts now. Faith believes now. Faith receives now. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and just give them a smile. Tell them, say, I love you. But Jesus loves you even more. Can I say this? Family, as Christians who are led by the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit can prompt you, why don't you be the first to help? The first to pray? The first to serve? The first one to be different and show kindness? Give hope. You know, Isaiah says, instead of shame, I'm going to give you double honor. Why don't you? Sometimes we wait, we say, oh, the Lord said that instead of shame, double honor. You know, sometimes you can see somebody is in a situation where shame is written over them. Why don't you change their name from shame to double honor? Why don't you be that person? Say, Lord, thank you for giving me the grace. I'm just going to help this person. From shame to double honor. Maybe we should put a challenge out there. Whose name have you changed? You know, sometimes things are written over people, over families. But we have to ask, what is my part in helping to help them obtain double honor? All of us want double honor. But Lord, what can I do to help people to obtain double honor? That's a different attitude. That's a different spirit. You know, when they walked into the promised land, the giants were real giants. The high walls were real high walls. The fruit was big. It was not there to intimidate them. It was there to show them the great things that God wants to do. But sometimes when you look at big things, it can intimidate you. And they started seeing themselves as grasshoppers. And when those leaders started to say it, that you are grasshoppers and we look like grasshoppers, everybody started seeing themselves like that. Only two people, Joshua and Caleb, said, listen, we're not grasshoppers. They're the grasshoppers. We're giant slayers. If God is with us, who can be against us? Sometimes when people's faith is down, be the one to stir up faith on the inside and give them hope. Because when our hope is in Christ Jesus, all things become possible. Sometimes when you need a breakthrough, go and be a breakthrough to somebody else. Because what you make happen for other people, God will make those things happen for you. Many people are waiting for things to happen in their lives, and God is waiting for you to use what He has given you to make things happen for other people. Turn to the person next to you, say, whether you like it or not, you have your part to play. Family, it's not just all up to God. You have your part to play. You have your part to play. You know, Jesus came with this attitude. He was looking for the lost. We say every Sunday, let's reach up, reach in, and reach out. It's a strategy that God has given us. Touch the heart of God. Let God touch your heart and touch the heart of your community. Reach up, pray a prayer for us. Reach in, hear what God is saying to you, and reach out to somebody. But Jesus had this mindset to go and look for the lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you go out and look for the lost? If it's in your power to do good, do it. God is expecting of you and of me to be one with the difference. When we stand before Him one day, He's going to say, I want you to give account of the gifts and the talents that I've given you. How did you use them? How did you multiply them? How did you increase? How did you multiply in that? And use it to be a blessing. Turn to the person that you say, be one with the difference. You know, James 5:19 says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Find the lost, find the broken, find the hurting, find the depressed, and say to them, come. Jesus wants to heal your broken heart. He wants to help you. You know, oftentimes when people are experiencing rejection, all they need is an ear to listen. Then they feel accepted. Sometimes when people are down and they think nothing's going to, they just need you to smile. That smile can bring joy into their hearts. You know, you get a smile, but then there's something that's not an ordinary smile. Smile of faith. When you don't feel like smiling, but you know God says, smile. This week, say, Holy Spirit, the beautiful smile that you've given me, prompt me to smile as many times as I have to. I want to be a person with a different smile. Allow Jesus Christ to use you as an instrument of salvation, an instrument of change. You know, it was the boy who took his lunch. 5 loaves, 2 fish, put it in the hands of Jesus. Seed time harvest. That saw a miracle. It was the boy that acted immediately. Do you want to tell me out of 5,000 people, he was the only one with lunch? No, no, no. There were some grumpy, hangry people there. They was holding on. This is going to nobody. This is mine. Mommy packed this for me. But one boy with a difference came and said, here it is. And he saw a miracle of multiplication. 5,000 people being fed. And apart from that, 12 baskets being collected. One little boy. Everybody had a hungry face. And after that, they had a satisfied, happy face. Fish and chips or fish and bread. Happy. Amen. He changed a whole community, a whole gathering. Probably 20,000 people in total if you count 5,000 men plus women plus children. When last did you change somebody's life? When last have you spoken a word that brought hope? When last did you just smile that brought joy to somebody's face? Can I just say, you can change somebody's name, you can change somebody's testimony by just doing small things that make a difference in their lives. I'm going to start closing. I'm not going to say I'm going to close. I'm going to start closing. Ask yourself, how many people have you helped to receive Jesus? You know, I was reading John 13 to 17. Time of testing for the disciples, where Jesus is saying to them, listen, I'm not going to be with you. And emotionally, you can just think with that. You know, many people, the biggest battles that they fight today are emotional battles. Turn to the person next to you, say emotional battles. Turn to the person on the other side, say it's real. So that Jesus came and he said to them, listen, I want you guys just to be emotionally stable. He says, I am going to send a comforter that's going to comfort you and be with you, to help you. Let me hear you say comforter. Sometimes when people are going through a tough time, all they need is just somebody to listen. They just need a comforter. They're going through a stressful time, a tough time. And Jesus said, I'm going to be a comforter for you. I'm going to be your support and I'm going to help you. Sometimes all you have to do is just go and listen. When you listen, that person that feels rejected now feels I'm acknowledged. Comforter. The Holy Spirit is not just a comforter, he's a helper. He's a helper, he's there to help us. Jesus said the second thing to his disciples, he says, listen here, when you pray and whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. I'm going to listen. And I'm going to answer. Sometimes when people say something, don't just respond immediately. Discern what they are saying and be the one with the difference. When people say nothing is working out, my world is falling apart, I'm in serious trouble. The Word of God says, wherever situation you find yourself, a difficult situation, number one, ask for wisdom, and he'll give you wisdom. Number two, he says, in any situation, I will show you the way out. Sometimes people cannot see the way out, and you have to be the one that speak the words of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to show them the way out. Can I have an amen? Amen. God has made you to be a problem solver, to solve problems. And then he said to his disciples, he said, listen, I'm giving you my narrative. He says, I've got your back. I've got your back. I know it's going to get tough, but I've got your back. Number one, I'm going to prepare a place for you. But number two, I'm going to be with you. Whatever you're going to do, I'm going to help you. The Holy Spirit that will be with you is going to be a helper. I've got your back. Turn to the person next to you, say, God's got your back. Now, don't turn your back on God. Because this is what we do. We think God's got our back. We can turn our back on God. No. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he's with me. Why don't I fear evil? Because where there's perfect love, it casts out all fear. Here's the thing that touched my heart the most in John 17. Jesus prays for his disciples, John 17, verse 22, and he says, Father, the glory that you have given me, I have given it to them, that they may be one, that there may be peace between all of them, and that the world can believe. The Bible says, don't touch my glory. But here Jesus comes and he says, the glory that the Father gave me. Acts 10, verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. So that glory, that grace to do good, he says, that ability that was given to me by heaven, I'm giving it to you. To go be one with a difference. To go and do good. To bring hope where others are criticizing, where other people are pointing the fingers, to be a solution. Jesus came to restore glory back to you and back to me. Not for us to be big here, but for his name to be glorified. Can I just say this? The more you help, the more you help, the more you become a problem solver, the more God will solve problems for you. Because God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that he will reap. Don't be tempted to act in the flesh, but follow the way of the Spirit. Our relationship with God that we have is number one, to worship him, to glorify him, to magnify him. But you are here to be a problem solver, not to cause problems. Can I have one amen? Amen. Who of you know your problem makers? No hands, I'm so happy. Who of you know your problem solvers? Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, God has predestined good works for us. And those good works that he has predestined for us, we should walk in them. We should walk in them. Amen. I'm going to close with this. I was thinking about changing names, and I want to give you just two examples of people's names that were changed, that was recorded in history, so that we can be one with the difference. The first is Ananias. Can you imagine Ananias? The Lord speaks to him and says, I want you to meet up with Saul. Saul, you mean God, the guy that's killing all of us, Christians. He says, I want you to meet up with him, Ananias, and go share with him and pray for him, because I have to change his name from Saul to Paul. Can I just say, all of us have at least one Saul in our lives. A guy that you think that when you share the gospel, he's going to kill you. Let me see your hand. Am I talking to the right people here? All of us have at least one soul in our lives. But you have to wait to be able to hear from God when to speak to that person. Because that person will get to a place where he have a Damascus experience. And he'll need an Ananias to meet up with him, so that his name can change from Saul to Paul. And that person, Paul, wrote 2/3 of this that we read. Can you imagine all of that is accredited also to Ananias and his obedience? How many souls have you, I almost want to say, not how many souls, how many souls have you reached out to? souls and souls, amen. Reach out to them. And bring them to Jesus. They might just be the next Paul that brings revelation, understanding, and that God uses mightily. The second person that really just touched me, Mordecai. Mordecai was the uncle, was an instrument of obedience that God used for Hadassah's name to be changed to Esther. But because of that, Esther saved the whole nation. When she was placed in the palace. God wants to use us as instruments of mercy, instruments of favor, to help change people's names so that God can use them to be one with the difference. What you make happen for others, God will make it happen for you. Mordecai became the king's prime minister after that. But he had to be faithful in the small things so that God can entrust him with the big things. A small step of obedience can change a city, can change a community, can change a nation to turn back to God. Let's be one with the difference. Make a decision from today, I'm going to be one with the difference. Maybe it's just by smiling more, by helping more, by caring more, by serving more. Whatever God has placed on the inside, you have to multiply it. You cannot just sit with it. You cannot go and bury it. Turn to the person that you say, don't bury your gifts. You have to multiply them. The Lord wants us to do good where we see bad. He wants us to be one with the difference. When everybody hates, let's be the ones to love. When everybody is shouting, let's be the ones that are calm. When everybody is driving aggressively, let's be the ones to drive calmly. Let's be the ones with the difference. Imagine we drive out here and people say, wow, look at these people, how they drive. They must be from Household of Christ, the way that they drive. When people walk into a building at work and everybody's grumbling and they smile and they say, oh, that's a different smile. They must be from Household of Christ. The way that they smile. The way that they serve, the way that they help. that church is different. They have the Holy Spirit there helping them, leading them and guiding them. Remember, family, faith sees the invisible. Faith believes the impossible, and faith receives the incredible. One small step, one man, one woman with a different spirit can take a whole nation into the promised land and what God has planned for them. Be that one with a difference. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.